Good afternoon, everybody. We are beginning our June 17, 2020 board meeting, and hopefully this will be one of the shortest meetings we will have this year. And we've got a quorum today, and I understand that Commissioner and Secretary Bill Freeman is on the line. Commissioner Freeman, Bill, good afternoon. I see you.
Good to see you. I love you.
And I believe we also have Commissioner John George on the line as well. Good to see you a little while ago. You made a good time getting back to the office. So with that, let's begin the meeting. And what I would like to do is have Angela read the Opening Meetings Act announcement.
Joint meeting of the MNAA Board of Commissioners and MPC Board of Directors will be held in accordance with Executive Order Number 16, signed by Governor Bill Lee on March 20th, 2020, as amended by Executive Order Number 34, signed by Governor Bill Lee on May 6, 2020, allowing a governing body to hold meetings by electronic or other means of communication without a quorum being physically present if the governing body determines that meeting by electronic means is necessary to prevent the spread of COVID-19 or other related epidemics, to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public and members of the governing body. All votes taken during this meeting will be by roll call vote.
All right. Thank you. And our first item is the approval of the minutes.
Motion to approve minutes.
All right, second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the motion, any nays?
You need a roll call.
Motion. Yes. Roll call vote. I was trying to speed it up a little bit. That's okay. Let's do a roll call vote.
Okay.
Can't blame you for trying.
Roll call of attendance first.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you. At the same time.
Commissioner Harwell.
Present and approved.
Okay. Commissioner Farnsworth.
Present and approved.
Commissioner Dorsch.
Approved and present.
Commissioner Freeman.
Present and approved.
Commissioner Granberry.
Present and approved.
Commissioner Jocelyn.
Present and approved.
Commissioner Smith.
Present and approved.
Commissioner Sullivan.
Present and approved.
Commissioner Crumbo.
Present and approved.
Commissioner Stevenson.
Present and approved.
Thank you.
All right. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Our chair's report, and it's going to be short as well. I've got two announcements, and the first is the reappointment for Commissioner John George. He was appointed on September of 2016, and he was reappointed last night, and his term expires in April of 2024. So congratulations to Commissioner John George for his last 1 year. And then the next appointment is Commissioner Joycelyn, and it's not Jocelyn, it's Joycelyn. Let's get that right. Joycelyn Stevenson, and she was appointed last night, and her term goes until April of 2024. Joycelyn, we are delighted you are here with us, and it's always great to have another
lawyer
fellow lawyer. Exactly. Jimmy beat me to it. And if you want to say something, I will turn it over to you for.
I'll be very brief. I'm very excited to be here and appreciate the appointment from our mayor. I'm excited to be for the ribbon cutting this morning. That was very great to be a part of that. And so I'm happy, ready to serve, ready to get to work. So thank you.
Well, we're glad you're here. So.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of items to update you on the president's report. And then we'll do one approval item, and then a couple more. I'll come back up for a couple of informational items. On the president's report, we are very proud, and I've got a lot of pressure behind me from Margaret to make sure that I get this right on the B&A shop. But we launched it on June 10th. It's part of our promoting B&A, our trademark of B&A, all of the domain names that we're protecting as we go forward. And so it's been a rousing success. So it's been 7 days in operation. We've sold $27,415.78. and we had sold 631 pieces, doormats of B&A carpet. It is a hot item, we're doing well, and it's being well received by the public as they're receiving their B&A merchandise. All the people that are buying it are posting it online, and so it's actually fun to see. So it's something we probably should have done a little while ago, but it's off to a good start, and we have all kinds of cool t-shirts and socks and hats. If you want to shop for Father's Day, you gotta get going real quick. So, but that's the president's remark for this point right now. And then we have approval items. If we can, the changers aren't working at least. Sorry. We got one item for approval, and Kathy Holland, back here to my right, is not only outstanding member of our staff, she just threw a big garage ribbon cutting, and we're very happy for her. Kathy doesn't normally do anything without balloons, music, or cake, but she is going to talk to you today about the art program and has some recommendations for commissioners to consider, so I'll turn it over to Kathy. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay. I'm delighted to be here today to present the nominations for the Arts at the Airport Foundation Board. This board is very important to us as we go through our public art process and also the exhibits that we showcase throughout the terminal. And this did not require going to a committee, so it is being brought directly to the board. These appointments are for a 3-year term of office, and we have 6 nominees, and 2 are new to the Arts at the Airport Board, Foundation Board. And then we have 4 that have graciously agreed to return to us. We have a very active board as far as when we're selecting, and next month you'll have the opportunity to see a brand new piece of public art at B&A, which we're so excited about, when we celebrate our Concourse D. As of December 2019, we had 6 vacancies, including we lost one of our members over the past year, and we were very upset to have that happen. It's the first time we've lost a board member with the Arts at the Airport Foundation. But we have these 6 folks to be nominated. We have Jorge Arita, and you may recognize him because he just recently purchased Arts and Company downtown, 5th Avenue of the Arts, and is opening a gallery. And he is also the son of, as he tells me, it's George Yonces, but he is also Jorge Yonces, and he is the gentleman that painted our celebration, which you see in the lower corner, that was down on A Concourse. Absolutely fabulous. So Jorge grew up with a family of artists, and he has done some absolutely fascinating things, and we're delighted that he brings diversity to our board, along with the expertise of operating a gallery in the downtown arts district. Dr. Paulette Komen. Paulette is well known for her activism in the community and her appreciation of the arts. She's been involved with the National Endowment for the Arts, and she has been a very active Arts at the Airport Foundation board member, especially when we're doing calls for artists and selection process. Michael McBride, many of you probably know Michael's work, well-known African-American artist, sometimes partners with James Brickhill in the community for projects and showings. Michael has graciously agreed to come back and join us for another year, 3-year period on the board, and his work is phenomenal. Danielle McDaniel, it would be a new board member. Many of you may not recognize her name that way. She's better known as the Clay Lady. So she owns the fabulous Clay Studio up on Lebanon Road, which has become a mecca for new creative artists in the She has a wonderful gallery that also showcases Tennessee art, and which is for purchase. And she has this wonderful complex, so people are heavily involved there, and she's done some actual exhibits out here for us during Tennessee Arts and Crafts Week with actual hands-on pottery. So we're thrilled that Danielle would join the board. Brian Tibbs, he's a native of Huntsville, and he's also an architect, and he's with Mindy Nolan. He was with us earlier today at the ribbon cutting. He's been a wonderful member bringing expertise in the field of what fits in the environment when we're looking at large-scale public art pieces. And then finally, Janice Seitlin. Many of you may recognize her name as Zeitgeist Gallery, which she's kind of turned over to Wayne York, her protege. But she's still actively involved, heavily involved with us in selecting exhibit pieces. So these are the six nominees to the Foundation Board. And the strategic priority is to invest in M&A. And our options would for you would be not to approve this group, ask the Arts at the Airport Foundation Board to go back and submit additional nominees. Any questions?
I have one, Kathy.
Yes.
The middle top one there, is that modeled after Granberry by chance? As a favor, I see a little.
We've never gone that in depth with you to find out.
Do you need to call this meeting into order?
Yes, we do that.
You know any good lawyers I can hire for slanders?
Y'all know my ex-friend, Bobby. Motion to approve as presented. All right.
Second.
Second.
All right, well, let's do a roll call vote.
Okay, Commissioner Arnold?
Approve.
Commissioner Farnsworth?
Approve.
Commissioner Dorsch?
Approved.
Commissioner Freeman?
Approved.
Commissioner Granberry?
Approved.
Commissioner Joslin?
Approved.
Commissioner Smith?
Approved.
Commissioner Sullivan?
Approved.
Commissioner Crumbo?
Approved.
Commissioner Stevens?
Approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy.
Doug, you said it with ribbons and music and a cake. I don't see the cake anywhere.
It's part of our weight loss program right now. We're trying to.
But it's part of the budget cuts.
The budget cuts. We got flour and icing. So, all right, just a couple of informational items. A lot of these were discussed in the committee meetings this past week. We're going to go through these items that you see on the left. Just comparison, so we talked about it at the ribbon cutting a little bit ago, but January and February were record months for us. We were plus 13%. Then the tornado and the pandemic started, so March went down steeply as the month went on. And so April was our lowest month ever, back to the 1950s, late 50s, early 60s, but about 1,000 a month. So we rebuilt the budget with Marge and the rest of the executive staff. And so the forecast for April was 1,000 a month, forecast for May was 2,500, June 5,000. And so we just got there on April. We're a little bit ahead of the curve in May, and we're doing the same sort of thing in June. And it was actually pointed out this morning that if it keeps going like it is, we're actually doing just under 8,000 people leaving the day. A normal day would have been about 25,000. So we're working our way back up from 1,000 a day to 8,000 a day. And our projection will probably end June, if we stay on track, about 175,000. So about 25,000 more customers than we want, and that'll generate additional revenue in concessions and in parking side.
How does that relate to flights, Doug?
Flights, I want to say we went from 260 or so today down to about 80 departures. And now we're back up to like 140 or so. Is that about right, Linda?
That's about right.
Somewhere in there. So it's the airlines are involved. Most of the airlines are adding the flights back in, and then they're really hoping to make it to October. And I think if we don't have the double dip that everybody talks about, then it will keep taking off. And we actually have a call with British Airways tomorrow to see when they're thinking about coming back together. So we'll see. We're getting there. We're about half steam on flights. We're about 25% of the volume that we're seeing right now. So.
Have you heard from Spirit?
Spirit
is back flying today, and they are adding capacity. I think they're going to be up to 8 departures next month, so they're coming right back.
And the good thing about Spirit, too, is they were giving Linda and Margaret a little bit of and Robert and his team a little bit of flack about the move. So, well, we're not going to come back. Good. Now it's coming back, and so they helped move their ticket counters really quick, and they're over there ready to go in the new space. So they're all getting excited about getting into the new space, so I think that's going to help us as well.
Are they still going to do their operations center?
Yes. So I talked to folks in Williamson County, and they may delay how they're going to move it over, but they're still, you know, mainly it's the move of the people that would transition up here, but they're still, my understanding is, negotiating their leases for wherever that office is going to be down there. So that's good. Yes, ma'am.
With regard to the increased volume, since it seems to be pretty exponential week over week, how are we scaling into that, I guess, exponential growth with regard to concessions? And then do we currently have waits? I mean, you know, in terms of, are there big gaps in each terminal by which you can get coffee and supplies?
Yeah, we'll show you a slide in just a second that shows concessions. But again, Margaret and Linda are juggling that, as you will. We were down, I think, to just around 10 to 11.
Right.
And the slide will show you in just a minute. We're up to 16. So it's 16 of the 52 concepts. And so some of them are starting to come back as the growth is there. So, okay. Great questions. The question came up on B&A fuel cells. If you just look at the totals, that's the combination of Atlantic and Signature in terms of fuel cells, and then basically the visits of the aircraft. They each defined a visit slightly differently, but basically you can see it's sort of an arrival-departure kind of combination. But fuel sales went down in late March, you know, as the pandemic started taking effect, and now you can see the rise is starting to come back on the FBO side of the house. John C. Toon, same sort of thing. February and January were really good, and then March dropped off, but the visits are starting to come back as well at John C. Toon, and I know we're actively in engaged with Chair Freeman and GOPE and the rest of the commissioners on re-envisioning Toon, and so I hear, you know, all the time about the metal that's on the ramps coming back, and so we keep getting a lot of questions on that. So Toon is picking up as well.
What is visits? What does that mean?
For corporate flights, so that's what Doug, CEO, is just saying, is that each of our FBOs defines that differently. It's not a required term in our agreement. For CFM, the way they define a visit is anybody coming in to request a service. So that can be someone that's landing or asking to be towed. So.
More of his training. Flight schools.
Right. So one of the things we're going to try to do over the next couple of months is come up with an agreed upon term so that we can all be counting the same thing. So we're measuring it. We know what we're talking about. We're comparing it to the house.
Yeah. So a visit right now even includes if they're towing you from the hangar to the front line. That's considered a visit.
That's why the numbers are so much.
Yeah, they're showing activity. Yeah. And so what does that mean? You know, it could be tying down a plane or something. Okay. So.
Or fueling at your hangar and then you leave from your hangar.
Right.
Because you requested
service. You got a service from them, and that's where Margaret said we've discovered over time it's not like when you hear us talking about commercial activity, it's about an operation. Well, the FAA has already defined that for us. It's either a takeoff or a landing. Nothing else counts. So when we say we have 266,000 operations here at Nashville, we know what that is. That's either a takeoff or a landing. And so on the GA side, we're going to have to define that standard.
So we don't know how many takeoff and landings we're having, and we just have this metric of the services.
We can get that information. That wasn't what we were trying to just gauge total activity for each FBO. So that's another thing we're going to figure out.
But the challenge, to your point, on the Toon side of the house, and Robert knows because we have fought this for years, and same way with Margaret, is the argument for Toon has always been, prove it to the FAA that you're busy enough to have a tower, and then you have to do surveys and all that. Now that we're past that and we're about to break ground and build a tower, the tower will keep the log, and that is the official FAA record then. So you take off at 10, you land at 10, we will have official activities to go from there. And then since we're talking tune real quick, some of the commissioners asked, when the CARES activity came out, there's different designations for GA airports, and so Tune was considered a regional airport, and depending on activity, you could go up a stage and go be declared a national. So the issue was, well, John C. Tune got $69,000 in CARE money, but Smyrna got $158,000, because they were considered a national. They had done a little bit more operations, but as we now go back and update our records, in the future, if anything comes up like that, Tune will be in that class of a national level GA airport. And so if funds are made available to us, we'll get more in the future. So we did follow up on that earlier question. In terms of B&A concession sales, just what Margaret was describing and Commissioner Smith was asking, in the same way, thank you to Linda for this effort, but you can start looking at April was not good, and we're starting to ramp up as the numbers come along, and so and we're up to 16 concepts right now. Linda and Margaret's team are working hard because with our concessions program, because what we on the staff mean is we want new. So we don't want just new and some of the old. We're trying to transition, but with the pandemic, some of them are having capital problems getting money to build new. So they're working out a balance, and we'll come back to talk to commissioners in the near future on that. Okay, we did a great job, I thought, today with Kathy's team on the ribbon cutting and Tom and Kim for the garage. We'll be back doing this on July 16th as well. I believe the 15th is a committee day. Normally we try to schedule our ribbon cuttings on the day that you're already out here, so I apologize for that, but this was the day that we were able to get the CEO of Southwest, the governor of Tennessee, and the mayor of Nashville. And so CEO from Southwest will land around 11 o'clock is the plan. He'll meet with his team on the ground. We'll do a ceremony to open up the concourse at 2. And then he flies back home to Dallas at 5 o'clock that night. What you're seeing is the airside, where the picture of the airplane is at, is where this is our big node area, big glass windows on this side and this side. So the stage will be there. We haven't gotten a run of show just yet, but we have some, you know, we'll be doing whatever the rules are on July 16th in terms of social distancing and all that, but we'll kick off this big accomplishment of opening up this brand new concourse. And then on the opposite side is where we'll have refreshments and kiosks and snacks and that kind of stuff for people to be able to mingle. It's really what size, how many can I, how can we invite here? So it's over 100 and something thousand square feet total. And so we have lots of room. It's just, we're trying to keep it fairly modest in terms of what we're doing. This will be the future home of Puckett's. This will be a future home of TBD once we see the leases come through. We won't have any other venues unless something has changed open at that time. But when you walk through this, this is D6 where my hand is at today, and D1 is way down here. Everything here will be operational for the flight and all the passengers and the airline employees. And on this side of the house, you know, the restrooms, dog service animal relief area will be, you know, going. But then it'll look like the inside of a mall that's missing a venue. It'll have a nice finished wall, but behind that wall is where the concessions will go. So once they sign their leases and they're ready to get into construction, we'll take that down and put a construction wall up. So it'll look like a nice finished wall, and then you'll see glass windows where all the airplanes will be. And we're excited because this is a big investment from us, but also a big investment from Southwest, because they're renting the entire concourse already and they have a lot of activity, I think, that plan for us to come in there in the next couple months. So we're excited about that. We did have a diversity and workforce development meeting this past week, And just the highlights of that, we still have 339 employees. If you skip to the bottom, or the second to the bottom bullet here, we've basically eliminated these positions between myself and Marge because we couldn't afford to fund them with the pandemic. Nobody lost their job. They were positions we were adding and out recruiting. We sort of stopped that for right now. And we still have a couple of critical positions to fill. And I think as we go through with this pandemic, I need to work with the exec staff to maybe identify one or two more critical positions that we go forward with. We did publish on the bottom what the mayor was talking about during his remarks a few minutes ago, was a back to business plan for how we're bringing the airport back and starting to bring some employees back. The main one that you'll see is our police, our firefighters, our ops and maintenance people, they're here working and maintaining distances. The admin staff that's on this level are trying to work their way through what social distancing spaces do we need to modify. But we're slowly coming back. But maybe a third of our team is still working from home on a regular basis. In terms of the workforce diversity side of the house, we've made some significant improvements in terms of our mix from male and female employees over the last year, which has been a goal of ours. And then the same theme ethnically between white, black, African American, and others. So I think we're doing a good job trying to match the markets that we see here. We do have the data for the 2018, but we're still trying to, pull that information out. So we'll update the slide to see how we do as a comparison going forward. This is a slide that we're very, very proud of here. In the previous 5 years prior to BNA Vision, the Airport Authority did some $35 million in minority contract as a whole. And then as we started BNA Vision, we're almost doing it in a single year in 17 and 18. I'm going to talk in a minute about the disparity study that we're hoping to finalize over the next couple months, but that study stops right here. But that, from the data that they're pulling on, but you can see we've really elevated our game as we continue to go through. And when we first kicked off BNA Vision, we'll still go till 23 or 24 in terms of the minority participation. In our $1.4 billion program, it's going to be north of $250 million, and we've never done anything like that. So I think it's something that we feel proud of and that we can brag about, but we're continuing to work that very hard. So the disparity study is coming out. There were two previous studies done here in 07 and 14. The one that we're doing now will be called, I guess it'll be 2020, but in the preface it'll be that it's based on 2018 data, so it's data that's now 2 years old. And what I'm trying to show here is if I look back at the history, that we are making improvements in reducing the number of recommendations. The only reason that the report is not finalized yet is because we're trying to determine how do we quantify these recommendations so that we can either get credit or track ourselves to see whether we're making the improvements we would need to continue reducing the number of recommendations. The items that you see in bold, where you see point of contact, is myself and the executive team already going in and identifying which executive area is going to work to solve these or work on these recommendations to try to continue getting better and better. And then in terms of their conclusions, these are, we've done the same sort of thing. We're waiting for the data. So when it, number one there, it says MNAA has not achieved substantial parity in awarding contracts. It's a statistical difference that they're trying to point out between the 2014 data that they had to the 2018 data that they're having. So we don't know if that's 1/10, 2/10, 4/10 or what. So we're waiting to see that data, but we have general themes that we're trying to look at, and we're already committed to doing a better or investing more money on B2G, which is our database for tracking all of this, and metrics is the key because We have to grade ourselves off of metrics so we don't catch any surprises as we do new disparity studies in the future. And then Gail, our chief administrative officer on the bottom, will be working with human resources to you know, best practice a diversity and inclusion policy to make sure that we're living the, you know, we're and investing in a culture here that promotes that type of equality at the airport. So those are the items that we talked about at the various committees this past month. There were no action items to vote on at that time, but I just wanted to provide commissioners with an overview of that, as well as welcome our newest commissioner. So
I have a question about the last slide of the disparity study, which I think is great. I'm curious, does that also include looking at diversity with respect to the concessions and other types of folks
right.
in our, okay.
Yeah, so we try to do ensure that the staff, as we're out recruiting, is a diverse mix that sort of matches the MSA area, but this really is our concessions program and other programs as you know, commercial development goes out, or Robert on the engineering side of the house, or even Marge in terms of auditing, or whoever's helping any of our different directorates have to have, for the most part, a goal that our business diversity department helps, you know, quantify. So you'll see that each time. And when we come back in the months ahead, we're working to gain board approval. We'll say contract X was valued at this, the participation was X percent, and then contractor X or Y meet that requirement before you all have a chance to vote on it. So,
thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Any other questions?
Are we going to have a special ceremony for Bobby's artwork?
We are.
At the crowns?
And have a cake and...
We will. Kathy, I have to talk to the cake master about that, but
we are having snacks. I think y'all are making a jump out of the cake.
With a white beater shirt on?
Yeah. But it is going to be the new, the new $600,000 art render, and we'll be ready to go. So we're excited.
Do we have white beater shirts in the B&A shop? Well, we talked about this.
We have shirts. I couldn't hear you, sir. Any other comments, Mr. Chair?
No. All right. Any other business?
No, sir.
All right. Kathy, thank you for a great job of the day.
Yes.
Love the ribbon cutting ceremony to the entire team. And Joyce Leonard, welcome again.
Thank you.
So if there are no other items, this meeting stands adjourned.
Wow. This is the shortest meeting ever.